Go About Hate Street. This is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you appropriately enough on Thanksgiving Day from the international capital of aggressive gratitude, San Francisco, California. Today is the 23rd of November. On this date in 1174, Saladin, who, let us not forget, was a Kurd, often forgotten by many Arabs, enters Damascus and conquers Syria for the Abbasid dynasty. 1510, the Ottoman Empire campaigns against the kingdom of Imereti for the first time. They sack Kutaisi, the capital, and burn the Galati Monastery. 1889, the first jukebox debuts at the Palais Royal Saloon in San Francisco. 1910, murderer Johann Alfred Ander is the last person to be executed and the only person to be executed by guillotine in Sweden. 1946, the French Navy kills thousands of civilians at Haiphong, Vietnam. 1981, Ronald Reagan signs a top-secret national security decision, Directive 17, which gives the CIA authority to recruit and support Contra rebels in Nicaragua. Hilariously and awesomely depicted in the recent Tom Cruise movie, American Made. Everybody should see it. 2003, Georgian President Edward Shevardnadze resigns following weeks of demonstrations, later known as the Rose Revolution. 2004, Holy Trinity, or some epic cathedral of Tbilisi, is consecrated. It is the largest religious building in Georgia. Birthdays are Byzantine Emperor Alexander III in 870, remembered for being lazy, lecherous, drunk, and malignant. Mexican painter Jose Clemente Orozco in 1883. American politician Chuck Schumer in 1950, and President of Venezuela and jerk Nicolas Maduro in 1962. Gilotsav Giorgobas, I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. The State Security Service, SSG, conducted a counterterrorism special operation in an apartment building in the Sani district of Tbilisi for 21 hours, starting on Tuesday evening, going until 1700 on Wednesday. Three suspects and one SSG officer were killed. Two additional SSG officers were wounded. One suspect was arrested, according to the SSG. They began by asking the suspects to surrender, at which point the suspects attacked with small arms, fire, and hand grenades, killing the SSG officer. A nearby school was closed. Residential buildings and kindergarten were evacuated. Security forces stormed the building at 5 a.m. Explosions, smoke, and gunfire were seen and heard throughout the rest of the day. At around 1600 on Wednesday, the building caught fire after an explosion, and the fire department came to the scene. SSG says that the suspects were not Georgian and had been under surveillance for several weeks. An investigation is ongoing, both in Georgia and abroad. SSG plans to compensate residents for any material damage caused by the operation. Across Georgia, as the events were occurring, rumors spread that there had been a terrorist attack rather than an anti-terrorist operation. Rumors about the origins of the suspects also spread, claiming that they were from Pakistan or Pakistan and or ISIS members. However, very little is known except for the approximate timeline of events. Prime Minister's Special Representative for Russia, Zurab Ashidze, met with Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister, Grigory Karasin, in Prague last week as part of an informal direct bilateral dialogue that began in 2012. They spoke generally about trade, transportation, humanitarian issues, and will soon hold a meeting to prepare for Russia's entry into the World Trade Organization, which will require monitoring in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. There was a deal about an independent Swiss company monitoring cargo in and out of the Roki Tunnel. Not sure if the Georgians will require that or not, but it was a very reasonable requirement for the Georgians to allow Russia to enter the WTO, and it'll be a very good weather vane to see whether Otsneva is sticking up for Georgia's interests with regards to Russia or not, or whether they're just going to let that slide. Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze visited Turkmenistan last week. While there, he signed the new transport and transit agreement. Sounds a lot better in Georgian or Turkmen than in English. The Lapis Lazuli Corridor Agreement with Afghanistan, Turkish, Turkmen, and Azerbaijani officials. The corridor uses land and sea transportation to connect Afghanistan to Europe around Russia. While in Turkmenistan, Janelidze also attended the 7th Regional Economic Cooperation Conference on Afghanistan and met with Turkmen Foreign Minister and Vice President Rashid Medidau. Parliamentary Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze went on a three-day visit to Belarus, where he met with President Alexander Lukashenko, Chairman of the Council of the Republic, Mikhail Misakovich and Prime Minister Andrei Kobyakov and Foreign Minister Vladimir Makei. Lukashenko described the relationship between Georgia and Belarus as absolutely brotherly, despite foreign policy differences. European Union and Georgia have adopted a revised EU-Georgia Association agenda for 2017 to 2020. The document is based on the 2014-16 one and is designated to facilitate the association agreement and the deep and comprehensive free trade area. As before, it covers a range of issues from strengthening democratic institutions and the rule of law to energy and transport cooperation. Like the old one, it is very much worth reading for those who care about Georgia's European direction. When big EU types talk about Georgia getting closer to the EU, this is the document that they use to judge that. The United States agreed to sell Javelin missiles to Georgia for $75 million. Raytheon Lockheed Martin, which produces the missiles, describes them as, quote, the world's most lethal one-man portable anti-armor weapon system, end quote. In approving the sale, U.S. officials noted that they will help enhance Georgia's national security, but would not change the overall balance of power in the region. Essentially what they are, they're usually used by two people rather than one, but they're a shoulder launch that you can launch and then take off, and they go up and then come down, hit a tank, and blow it up, pretty much any tank, and will render the 58th Army's significant tank grouping up around the northern part of north Ossetia pretty much irrelevant in terms of dealing with Georgia. The Russians are going to be very much against this, but won't say much about it. New Interior Minister and Deputy Prime Minister Gyorgy Gakharia appointed three deputy interior ministers last week. Kaka Sabanadze, previously the State Security Service, was appointed as the first deputy interior minister. Nino Javakhadze, previously the deputy economy minister, also became a deputy interior minister. Finally, Madam Melania is the only deputy interior minister to retain their job. He was appointed to the position in 2016. Public defender Ucha Nanuashvili, whose five-year term ends on the 7th of December, called for increased public participation in choosing his successor at the news briefing last week. Otsneva's Irakli Kobahidze said shortly beforehand that they would be having very active discussions with an expanded format for consultation. Local NGOs have a list of potential candidates, as does Otsneva. United National Movement and Alliance of Patriots MPs have said that they will support the Otsneva candidates, while European Georgia has offered to nominate and support the NGO ones. A group of NGOs, including the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, released a statement expressing concern about recent attempts to discredit Nanuashvili in the office of the public defender more generally. Officials from the legislative, judicial, and executive branches of government, including the Minister of Justice, have recently made negative comments about the public defender, mostly concerning the cyanide case, which the public defender just released a report on. The report critiques the case on a number of procedural grounds, including violation of presumption of innocence, limiting the right of an attorney, and complete closure of court processes. The cyanide case involved a possible attempt by a clergyman to kill Patriarch Ilya II, and is shrouded in mystery because that's the way the church wants it to be. 25 NGOs released a statement against the proposed merging of the Office of State Minister of Georgia and European Euro-Atlantic Integration into the Ministry of Foreign Affairs without prior public and expert consultation. The organizations are concerned that an informed merger might hinder the strategically important Euro-Atlantic integration of Georgia. They are correct that that will be a problem because there are an incredible number of meetings related to that that all want to meet at minister level, and it's kind of... It is an advantage, I think, to have that ministry, although streamlining certainly makes sense in general. Related to public consultation, on a June 2017 survey by Caucasus Research Resource Center and the National Democratic Institute found that two-thirds of the public are not aware of the constitutional reform process. Of those that were aware, only 6% felt as though it fully reflected citizens' opinions, while one-third felt that it did not. Young people, people in ethnic minority areas, less educated people, people outside of Tbilisi and the UNM and labor supporters were less likely to know about the constitutional reform process. Parliament is considering a bill that would allow advertising on the Georgian public broadcaster, GBP, said that this will allow them to develop and compete with commercial stations, and that would be great since they're so incredibly heavily subsidized. If the bill passes, advertising will be limited to 3 minutes an hour, will not be permitted during prime time on weekends or on public holidays. Private broadcasters, including Rustaviotti and some Otsneva MPs, have opposed the bill, arguing that the change would negatively impact small regional broadcasters and create opportunities for commercial influences on programming. A group of three NGOs, including TI, released a statement against new Otsneva proposed changes to party funding rules. If the changes are approved, budgetary funding will continue to be allowed for parties that garner 3% electoral support, but also to parties that fail to receive 3% of votes but win majoritarian seats and form factions. Their statement notes, quote, that the goal of the state funding is to promote activities of political parties and join public support throughout the country, end quote. NGOs go on to critique the current funding rules for their obscure nature. Otsneva bill needs to be referred to Parliament by the Committee for Legal Issues and Budgets before it can be discussed. Tbilisi City Court upheld Minister of Refugees' decision to refuse asylum to Mustafa Emre Çabuk, a former manager at the private Demirel College in Tbilisi. The college was shut down by Georgian authorities in August at the demand of the Turkish government, although they pretended that it was about paperwork, as part of an ongoing attempt by the Turkish government to close or pressure governments to close institutions and arrest people that may or may not be connected to Turkish opposition figure Fethullah Gulen in the aftermath of the 2016 attempted coup. Georgian authorities also shut down the Sahin Isayem School in Batumi in early 2017. The asylum decision allows the Georgian government to extradite Çabuk to Turkey. Turkey has charged Çabuk with terrorism, while Çabuk insists that he is innocent. He is innocent, and in this case, the government of Turkey is just telling the Georgian government what to do. The government is then telling judges what to do. That's what's happening here, if you're interested. He has an airtight asylum claim. Prosecutor's office has charged five former officials in Tbilisi and Rustavi prisons with inhumane and degrading treatment of prisoners. The prosecutors say that prisoners illegally denied the right to walk, make phone calls, were denied medical services, their time for sleep and rest was limited, that they were subject to systemic violence. The officials are also accused of taking away personal hygiene items and bed linens, removing prisoners' clothes, and keeping prisoners naked in cold cells for extended periods of time. The charges come as part of the investigation in 72 former penal system employees. The investigation is only looking at events that occurred before Otsneva came into power in October 2012. Public Defender's Office released a report on the impact of the March 2017 closure of two border crossings into Abkhazia. The report says that the move restricted local residents' freedom of movement and creates unjustified impediments in terms of receiving health care services and education, maintaining trade, family ties, etc., which was, of course, the idea, and particularly impacts residents of the Gali district. The move has increased travel time and costs for people traveling to Zugdidi, including children who live in Gali but go to school in Zugdidi. As the last Georgian schools in Gali were closed, the number of children crossing the border for education was increasing. As a result, the public defender calls the closures a restriction of the right to education in one's native language that results in discriminatory treatment of the population of Gali compared to other non-Georgian population of Abkhazia. The Abkhazian authorities have also increased fines for illegal border crossings. Two border crossings remain open. Earlier this year, the Georgian government sent aid to Abkhazia to help combat the brown marmorated stink bug, a pest that knows no borders. The insect caused extensive damage to hazelnut crops, an important income source for people in Abkhazia and Semigrelo and other regions. However, farmers in predominantly ethnically Georgian regions of Gali are now reporting they never received or have even heard of the aid program, which provided free insecticide treatment to crops. Both the Georgian National Food Agency and the NGO tasked with bringing the supplies to Abkhazia don't know what happened. The Abkhazian Ministry of Agriculture has not replied to requests for comment. Recently controversial and recently removed Abkhazian War Memorial in Kilmarnock, Scotland, will be replaced with revised wording. Currently, the memorial bears an image of the Abkhazian flag and says, in memory of those from our twin town of Sakhumi who died in the Abkhazian-Georgian conflict of 1992-93, the Georgian embassy wrote to the local council and Scottish government to complain that the monument contradicted UK policy that Sakhumi and Kilmarnock were no longer twin cities, as they were during the Soviet period. A number of Abkhazians have spoken against the decision to remove and change the memorial, as have a number of writers and experts on the Caucasus. Great that the Georgian government and their embassies are keeping focused on the important stuff. Earlier this week, the new mayor of Marnauli, Timur Abbasov, attended an event to meet some of his constituents, but only men were present. When asked about this, the mayor said, quote, "Perhaps the women really need to be cooking lunch for their husbands at noon," end quote. Village resident then said, quote, "We have this mentality that women don't have anything to do with the center of the village, and issues are generally solved without women," end quote. The public defender commented, saying, quote, "It is disgusting when the mayor supports the infringement of gender-connected human rights, especially if the mayor has committed to promoting the establishment of equality at the same time," end quote. Yeah, Timur, bad move. Take it back. Apologize. The Minister of Culture has declared Georgian tolerance an intangible cultural heritage. The minister representative noted that various ethnic and religious groups of our country to perceive Georgia as their motherland, and that minority groups are allowed to preserve their cultural culture, their individual cultures without assimilating. However, some people have questioned this purported tolerance, especially in light of the recent Public Defender's Office report that showed a number of problems with the government and tolerance, including the use of hate speech by officials and the unilateral creation of the State Agency for Religious Issues. Freedom House published their annual Freedom of the Net report last week. Georgia's labeled free and scored 24 on a scale of 0 being the most free and 100 the least. The report examines three types of indicator: obstacle to access, limits on content, and violations of user rights. Georgian score improved by 1 point from 2016. The report critiqued the temporary blocking of video hosting site Vimeo and new surveillance laws that allow excessive access to user data. Also noted Georgia's relatively low rates of internet penetration, especially in rural and low-income areas. Of the countries examined, Canada is the most free and China is the least. SilkNet has appointed American lawyer Ted Jonas to its supervisory board. He will help the company with corporate governance and internal legal compliance issues. Jonas was the managing partner of DLA Piper in Tbilisi for 10 years. And started the firm that eventually became DLA Piper. He's now senior counsel with Dentons, which took over DLA Piper operations last year. Jonas has been legal advisor to the Silk Road Group and affiliates for 11 years and is familiar with SilkNet. He originally came to Georgia in 1995 with NDI. Silk Road Group was the Georgian partner for the Trump deal in Batumi in the waning days of Misha's government. In August, Adam Davidson in The New Yorker wrote an expose that the deal was more or less with Timur Kulibayev, the son-in-law of Kazakh president, and a bunch of front companies. Let's hope that Jonas can prevent this kind of stuff from happening in the future. Meme this week is a video of Georgian ensemble Shavnavada singing a polyphonic version of the European anthem at the World Forum for Democracy in Strasbourg. Stuff to read. Uchu Nanoashvili, the public defender, published an op-ed in Civil.ge explaining the need for Georgia to continue supporting Abkhaz and Ossetian people. Policies that provide free health care and support local language have come under fire recently as being unrealistic and sentimental. Nanoashvili argues that these policies are necessary as part of the government's duty to its citizens to combat interethnic fear and to ensure Georgia fulfills its international obligations, specifically the EU Association Agreement. OC Media published an account of a woman's experience with the Abkhazian War in its aftermath. Her father and grandfather were killed by Georgian militia members and her house burned down. But the author still says, "I'm not a nationalist. I believe that there are normal people among Georgians too, despite having a lot of resentment about this war in my soul." OC Media published an opinion piece on the seasonal lives of ethnic Armenians in Samsk'a Javakheti and how working in Russia has impeded integration into Georgian society. Men from many Armenian families work in Russia for 7 to 9 months a year, which impacts local businesses, family life, and Georgian language learning. The article also relates the lack of men to a lack of civic consciousness. Being gone for so much time reduces the connection that men feel to Georgia, and as seasonal workers, they have no political rights in Russia. However, things are changing. More ethnic Armenians are attending Georgian universities, which allows them a much wider array of employment options inside Georgia. The BBC published an article about Khachapuri exploring different types, how to make it, and other Khachapuri facts. The article discusses at length the belief that Khachapuri should only be made by happy people, which is of course true. The author says that nearly everyone he spoke to shared this opinion, but does not appear to be widely known or have been written about previously. All the stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 4, the number of days on which one may celebrate Gheorghiu or St. George's Day, one of them being today. The Catholic Church celebrates on the 23rd of April, the date he is purported to have died upon. The Russian Orthodox Church celebrates on the 9th of December. The Georgian Orthodox celebrates it twice, on the 6th of May, April 23rd on the Julian calendar, and on the 23rd of November. Georgia National Museum Chinese Artists Association open a Chinese contemporary art exhibit called Art and Peace at the Tbilisi History Museum at 6 o'clock on the 24th. The exhibition will run through the 12th of December and features 29 works by members of the Chinese Artists Association. Also on the 24th at 8 p.m., Verdi's La Traviata is playing at the Tbilisi Opera House. Georgian USA rugby teams will compete on the 25th at 6 p.m. at Tbilisi Mikhail Meshchi Stadium. Also on the 25th, a number of children's theatrical productions are being performed, including Adventures of Pinocchio at the Akhmateli Theater at 1400, Wizard of Oz at the Notre Dumbadze Professional State Youth Theater at noon, Pippi Longstocking at 1 p.m. and also at the Notre Dumbadze Professional State Youth Theater. The exhibition Universal Values Botticelli, The Beauty, Caravaggio, The Light at the D. Shevardnadze National Gallery closes on the 30th of November. Friday, December 1st at 7 p.m. at East Point Mall in Tbilisi, they'll have a Christmas tree lighting event with activities for children and music. And don't forget, tomorrow, Friday, is Buy Nothing Day. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbielpod@gmail.com, or you can post to the forum on our website, www.tbielpod.com. And we will finish with, from London, 2009, this is Paloma Faith and Upside Down. Angels watching over me with smiles upon their face, 'cause I have made it through this far in an unforgiving place. Straight.